Quote, opening quote, "Already money has been allocated for Sentech to become a wireless internet wholesaler as well as finance its digitization. Working with other governments on the continent and the private sector, we will complete the process to launch the undersea cables. At the same time, we aim to provide digital broadcasting to 50% of the population by the end of the year. Attached to this will be a manufacturing strategy for the development in South Africa of set-top boxes, which should be finalized by the middle of the year." Close quote. The Chief Executive Officer of Sentech Chair will explain the challenges associated with achieving 50% coverage by the end of March 2009. We'd like to share with you that Sentech is diligently engaging the Department of Communications and National Treasury in the pursuit of consensus regarding the role of Sentech and the capitalization of the company in order for us to fulfill our mandate. Sentech is pleased that there has been positive progress made in respect to the funding of the Digital Terrestrial Television Migration Project. We thank the Department of Communications as well as National Treasury for all the hard work and cooperation that they have put into this regard. Sentech Chair is also committed to playing a critical role in making sure that the core electronic communications network, in particular broadcasting signal distribution infrastructure, is ready for the 2010 Soccer World Cup. We continue to actively participate in the Department of Communications structures and the local host city committees to ensure that we contribute meaningfully to meeting South Africa's ICT commitments to FIFA while not neglecting the legacy that will be left after the World Soccer Cup takes place. The Sentech board, as well as management, expect the year ahead, Chair, to be very hectic as we forge ahead with several key projects, namely digital television migration, broadband wireless rollout, 2010 preparatory activities, skills development, and such activities. Chair, I will now request our Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Sibeletso Mokoni Matubane, to lead the presentation on behalf of Sentech. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Khan, Mr. Zadi, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Communications and colleagues in the sector. Agenda today, Chair, will focus on the Sentech business strategy for this current financial year. We'll touch on the broadcasting and distribution and the telecommunications and central budget for 2008 and 2009. Perhaps as a way of starting, I would just want to say that our network performance currently, as it stands, especially in terms of radio and television, the platforms are doing very well. We have service level agreements with all of our customers, and the analog television transmission is 99.9, and that's what we certainly want to maintain that. The radio transmission is 99.8. As you know, there is maintenance that has to be done. Sometimes acts of nature intervene, and that's why we really can't guarantee 100% that we try to do that. Coming to an area that is of interest to the committee, this relates to the migration from analog terrestrial television to digital. I'd like to report that phase one and two have been successfully completed. We are currently in phase three, which commenced on the 1st of April. But I also want to note that we have an allocation of only 150 million out of the 262.7 million that we had indicated was required, and I'll elaborate next. In terms of phase one, to just remind the honourable members. The work that we did was mostly with civil works, replacement of high and medium power analog TV transmitters, making sure that the electrical infrastructure can carry both the analog and the digital, because for a while they have to run concurrently, so we needed to make sure that we have infrastructure ready for that. We also replaced 13 broadcast antenna systems, which will increase the bandwidth and power handling capacities for the digital environment. Some of the things we did in phase one was to also go out on tender for the equipment that we need. We're able to get two companies, one out of Germany, the other one out of Italy, that were using to procure our transmitters. Phase two was essentially an extension of phase one, and as we said, it's well on our way. We have made installations in Gauteng province, in Bloemfontein, because the idea was that we would ensure that by 2010, all of the 2010 host cities are digitally compliant. And so it was in part on the basis that we planned our work. Phase three rollout, out of the 36 sites in the metropoles, wanted to achieve a 56% population coverage. And since Gauteng is densely populated, most of those that infrastructure would be in Gauteng, but that was our plan. One of the tasks for us under phase three would be to, we're undertaking a study regarding a tariff structure in a digital environment, because we've been using analog, we understand that things are different. Continuing with the training of our people to make sure that they can indeed not only install but maintain the infrastructure. Our people just went to Germany recently for training, and they are now back. They are training others around the country to ensure that not only in Gauteng province but all of our regional offices have people competent to maintain our infrastructure. Some of the things we're also looking at in terms of GTT, but the broadcasting infrastructure, is that we had a concern about the blackouts due to ESCOM. And so we are, we have a plan to make sure that we have standby generators at all of these major facilities so that there are no interruptions. We're happy to hear what ESCOM is saying, but at the same time, we need to have plan B just in case something goes wrong. So it is something that we're looking at. We have had discussions with all of our major clients to inform them of what is happening, because if our network is down, it certainly affects their business, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're mindful of all of that and taking all of that into consideration and wanting to ensure that the migration to digital does not disrupt, at least take into account the way forward with the new challenges that that we face. As I mentioned earlier, we have been allocated $150 million. We had requested $262 million in order to achieve a 56% population coverage by the end of March next year. So it's an issue that I'll come back to. In phase four, we had planned to continue the rollout to achieve a 78% population coverage by 2010 and a 92% by the time that we switch off the analog and move completely to digital. All of the figures I have mentioned were based on an exchange rate, a euro exchange rate of 1 euro to 10 rands. And again, our equipment we get from Europe, and so it's an important factor with the fluctuation of the rand. As we sit, we have a shortfall of 295 million. The shortfall means that indeed we can switch on November 1, 2008. The only difference is that instead of achieving a 56% population coverage by March of next year, we will only have 18 sites up and as opposed to 36 sites, which means that the population coverage will be roughly 40 50% instead of the planned 56% that will go live. But, you know, again, I'd like to reiterate that we will be able to switch on. It simply means that it will be a smaller population coverage. The challenges in terms of the TTT rollout, again, is the shortfall and the issue of the dual illumination that we had, you know, raised before. And I will also come to that. We had indicated that there's a need to take account of the dual illumination as we switch on, that somebody has to pay for the extra services. It's a discussion we continue to have with the Department of Communications and National Treasury. We're hoping that that matter will also be resolved soon. There's an issue of the set-top boxes. When building the head end to complete the network design, we need the specification for the set-top boxes so that the head end can talk to the set-top boxes. So as soon as the specifications are made available, we'll be able to move speedily ahead to make sure that the network is in terms received half a billion rand. we have had extensive discussions with our board and with the Department of Communications and the National Treasury about the business plan and the funding model. Our view was that it's really important to understand where we're going and how we're going to get there, because we don't want to make, I suppose, the same error we did before, where in good faith we started offering, you know, developing products for broadband wireless with the assumption that funding would be made available, and it wasn't. And so it's really awkward. I think we need to know in what trenches we would get it and all of that, so that, you know, we can make sure that everybody understands the issue the same way, and that the public also have the expectations managed in a sense. The discussions, as I said, are still going forward, and so we are unable to articulate to you exactly what, you know, the outcome is going to be and how we're actually going to roll out. The last time we were here, Chair, we talked about the Denali schools. It is one of the apex of priorities that requires the DOC to roll out to the Denali schools. And the idea was that if we use WiMAX technology, you would have a base station near a Denali school. And if there are any schools or municipal offices or a post office, they would also be linked, so that a whole community would benefit from that infrastructure. Now, the DOC has indicated that we should use the $500 million to roll out to the Denali schools. When we did our calculations, the Denali schools project will require $2.8 billion to do that. And in a sense, it's for that reason that we're saying we need to have a holistic plan where the Denali schools and other entities such as schools and hospitals and all of that fit into it. But nonetheless, that's what it is. We're currently in discussions with both DOC and National Treasury, because we're saying that we can't, looking at Denali schools in isolation makes the project not sustainable. We're aware that education is a competency of the provinces. They would have to allocate funds to support this, to ensure that there is sustainability. Our task is to roll out to the school. But we can't just be callous and just do that, especially after the experience of Telkom several years ago, when they said they rolled out to outlying areas and there were very few takers. We also do know that in some provinces, the departments of education are more aggressive, where, you know, they prioritize the connectivity, and some achievements have been made. So it is indeed possible to work with them. Just last week and this week, we have been working with the departments and some of the provincial people to address this particular issue, and, you know, serious discussions are underway, hoping that we can resolve this issue very, very soon. And, you know, again, we really would like to have this as a part of an overall national network, instead of doing this and then coming back and leave something, you know, without really a coherent plan to move ahead. In terms of our budget here for this coming year, to just summarize, for the DTT, digital migration, CAPEX, last year we had requested 95, we did receive that. In 2008, with phase one and two, we received, you know, year before last, this is a financial year, yes, we received 95. Last year we received 120, which is what we had requested. This year, as I had mentioned earlier, we requested 262, 700, but we only received 150. So that's a shortfall that we need to look forward to. And as you can note with the figures moving forward, even for financial year 2010 and 2011, there's a shortfall. And I'll talk about the implications thereof shortly. The OPEX, operational costs for TTT, that issue has also not been resolved. We have indicated on this sheet how much money had been requested. We're still waiting to hear how the approximately 118 million will be dealt with. Again, we're in discussions with the DOC and National Treasury regarding this particular issue. With FIFA, as I mentioned earlier, we have received the funding that we requested, and there should be no difficulty at all meeting our obligations. With broadband wireless, you will note that what we received this year is less than about half what we had requested, and moving forward, there are no commitments, and that is what we're discussing with both the Department of Communications and National Treasury. So the shortfall is huge. In terms of the total funding, between now and 2012, it was a little over $5 billion, and what we received is about $1.5 billion allocated by NT. And again, the exchange rate being one euro to 10. In conclusion, Chair, the DTT rollout is on track. We need additional funding, as I mentioned, in order to achieve the coverage milestones as we have outlined, in order to switch off in 2011, as Cabinet had decided we should do. But if the above is not achieved, if we don't receive the funding, what it means is that it will take us longer to complete the migration process. What that means is that the dual illumination period will be longer. The cost thereof will be higher. And so, it's one of those issues that we need to deal with. And we don't know what the implications are in terms of foreign exchange rates and all of that, because we still have to procure equipment on time. For this current year, we're hoping that something can still happen. We're just concerned that if there are... I wish we would get the funding sooner rather than later, because our equipment is procured in Europe. They go into their summer holidays, and so unless you place your orders soon, it means that if you place your orders June, July, it's too late. They'll see you in September, which again would affect the coverage that we will be able to do. So there are knock-on effects with further delays. But as I said, we will be able to switch on, except it won't be as extensive a coverage. With 2010, the project is on track, and we don't anticipate any difficulties there. With the broadband national wireless rollout, we still need clarity, as I indicated, on the business model. We need to know what National Treasury will give, what we can borrow. The board has indicated to the shareholder that we need to have the company recapitalized. So there are a number of issues that still need to be sorted out that are, in a sense, outside of what our board can do to government to definitively say what the decision is, so that the board can then exercise its duty in that way. The issue of the PFMA still stands. We still would like that we are reclassified as a Section 2 company, because even smaller companies and ISPs and all of them are a lot more agile than Centric is. And so you find that at least that people say that they, you know, engage customers and try and develop business and all of that, but because of the length of time that it takes to take decisions, you lose out, and so somebody else comes around and essentially, you know, grabs the customers and moves on. So for sustainability and agility, we believe that it's important that this is done. What else you want to share? Thank you.
Thank you very much for a short and good presentation. Members, it's open for questions, comments. Much significant progress has been recorded since our last meeting with National Treasury in the Department of Communication. I'm sure that people have got questions around those things. But Tim, as much?
Okay. I too have looked at the State of the Nation speech in the last week and looked again at that paragraph of the President fondly promising, of course, on the basis of undertakings given by the Minister, that 56% of South Africans would be receiving digital TV by November, wasn't it? Was it March? I'd rather think it was
the speech on date is November, but by...
Right. And of course, all of that is completely useless if the set-top boxes are not yet in place. Would you just like to confirm that? I mean, it's very wonderful if we have now digital capacity, but if the citizens, if those 56% of citizens, which are now going to be a lower percentage, can't actually receive any of it, then what is the big deal? May I also assume that you had... the idea was also for the dual illumination to start at that same period, and therefore you would have, in your calculations, started calculating what broadcasters would be paying you for dual illumination and for two sets of signal distribution. Now, there too, I can hardly see the broadcasters paying the extra money if the stuff isn't, in fact, going out. But there's a question I would like to ask you about that, because I don't think it's something we've ever had an opportunity to discuss. We were given some research which reflected the positions of the SABC and ETV. And now the SABC predictably expects the state to fund all of its costs for dual illumination as much as for its equipment. ETV makes the interesting argument that whereas they pay currently more than 75 million per annum for their signal distribution, they would be required to pay an extra, not 100%, but an extra 75% over that, up to an amount of 128 million per annum. And this is for them quite steep. And they raise the argument that Centec should in fact be charging on a cost basis for the analog transmitters, which by now have been fully depreciated, they seem. And alternatively, of course, ETV thinks that it too should receive state subsidization and not just the giant public broadcaster. But these were to me interesting figures, and I would just appreciate your reaction to them, especially the idea that they shouldn't be paying that much extra. They can't make more ad revenue because these are the same channels, the same programs, the same ads going out, that's going out over two technologies. And the question of tariffs, of course, also raises the question whether you have calculated that into the billion you're asking extra for dual illumination. Quite apart from the money you need to build the infrastructure, you have always said you also need a billion for dual illumination, and to date the Treasury has never given you anything for that aspect. But some of that presumably should be recovered from the tariffs that the broadcasters pay. So I would just like some attention to that, please. And then, of course, we've taken note now of what you say about the exchange rate and the fact that there is no way you can roll out the number of digital transmitters that you had intended. And in fact, there will be only 18 sites, and we're looking at 40% of population. Chairman, would you like to leave it there with the DTT, or can I address the other matter too, the wireless?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is the clarity on the slide, funding requirement for regional plan rollout. That slide. You have a figure on top and a figure on red. So I don't know whether phase 1 to 3, what that means, 95 to 120 to 20, whether those numbers are right. If you could just say. The second question would be on these 18 sites. I've seen most of the phase 1 have done it in counting most of it. Will these 18 sites be on one province? The other question is on this FIFA World Cup. What do you do with the FIFA World Cup? They will build in the stadium. What do you do with that exactly? Because it's a World Cup, what do you do? If you could just call me. Then one last question. The community radio in my constituency. As I said, they are not doing well because your equipment are expensive. What that's supposed to mean, that they can't go to your equipment, is expensive. And right now they are struggling, but they are doing well. 50,000 listenerships, they believe they can do more if they can go into your, what does it mean for a local community radio? Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. No specific question, but just to line myself with what Ms. Smart said earlier, I think what you also have, and I'm not sure whether Treasury, there's none of them here, Chairperson. See, we should talk to ourselves again. Funding is the problem. And very often, by the time that Treasury makes funding available, it's late in the day. It means you can't get anything, you know. So, I think I just add that we need to make the call louder again and start to mention the names that could be the bottleneck in this whole process. Now, I'm not sure whether the Centec has moved to a position where somehow you think that they're doubting whether you really want to use the money for that, because if you don't get the money, it's not like you can make do with something else. You need the money to acquire that transmitter and whatever equipment that you need. I think you're at a stage where you say, yes, our requirement, why don't you go and buy it? I can imagine the frustration that Centec goes through. So from the ANC side chairperson, we need to call again on Treasury is to come to a conclusion about the funding and get the funding through. It's not going to be helpful. It's not going to help us at all if they want to make the funding available in 2010. The reality is, in terms of just broadcast, there are certain requirements that we must be able to demonstrate to FIFA by next year, 2009. So it's already late in the day if we're going to call on money now. It should have been happening last year already or a year before. So other than that, I nearly said it's the same old story. We've been hearing this thing, and I have sympathy for them. And maybe like we did last year, in terms of everything, maybe we should concentrate our energy to help Centec. Because without the major signal distribution, we are lost to make sure they get the appropriate funding. Thank you.
Chair, I will address the issues in broad terms, and then the CEO will get into the technical detail.
we thank the members of the committee for raising the issues whereby Ms. Smuts inquired into the need for the broadcaster to pay higher fees and the research that is available to her in relation to the SABC seeking a subsidy in ETV, seeing an increase by up to 75% in the costs which they consider to be steep. The issue that has been raised from a technical point of view, Chair, relates to these assets being fully depreciated and therefore no cost would be incurred. That is not necessarily an item that persuades the Board of Centec. As the assets age, Chair, they need additional maintenance. And we have certain fixed costs that are part and parcel of our budget that are submitted on an annual basis. So despite the depreciation, we've got ongoing personnel and other fixed costs that need to keep these aging transmitters in working order. As far as ETV persuading the state to subsidize it, Chair, we would invite them to pursue that particular aspect. The aspect of tariff setting that Ms. Smuts has raised and whether or not it's been calculated in our business model, what happens, Chair, is that when we develop a business model, you need to outlay the capital expenditure in certain tranches over a period of time. And then your funding and your fees and revenue comes into subsequent periods. So in the initial term, until you can get the illumination up and running, you've got to invest the money and the revenues flow in subsequent years. The exchange rates is something that is unpredictable. The rand to the euro has vacillated between 9.60 to a euro, it went as high as 12.60. Today it's trading at around 11.60. So when we did our planning, we worked on the principle that 10 rand would equal 1 euro. So that pushes out the costs, and we need to take forward cover so that we could maintain that. On the sites, Chair, the CEO will respond to that in a moment. As far as the penetration, we would have loved to have got to the 56%, but the capital constraints constrain us from reaching that. Moving to the aspects that the member raised, Chair, on the clarity in the slide and as far as the selfishness of Centec in trying to appropriate the allocation significantly to Gauteng, that's not true, Chair. We are pretty fair in the allocation, and we want to see the distribution to be more representative, and our CEO will address that in a moment. FIFA World Cup, when we say that the 300 million that has been allocated will be utilized, what we mean is that taking into account all the contingencies, irrespective of whether or not areas that were previously lit, Chair, that's the new term that is used for blackouts or power outages, we want to give the assurance that irrespective of any of these contingencies, we will provide the satellite distribution on a worldwide basis. So we are saying to you that the funds that have been allocated will be spent wisely, and we've communicated with the host cities as far as seeing that the equipment, the infrastructure is protected, it's secured, it's functional, so there will be a significant degree of testing prior to rollout and prior to commercial operation. And the use thereafter would also generate revenues, which Centec would use to strengthen its capital base. Chair, I have great sympathy for the member and the plea that he's making on behalf of his community. I think it's wonderful to have an audience of at least 50,000 within the constituency to broadcast messages. Centec runs the business, and we look at the cost of the distribution of the signal in that particular area. And outside of the meeting, we would be able to engage with the member if he so desires. But let's say quite clearly, Chair, if you look at our budget and the numbers that have been projected as well as achieved in the past number of years, you'll see that in the current year that we'll almost break even, and last year we lost funds. So we're not earning surpluses or overcharging community radio stations. So we have got a degree of sympathy. Finally, Chair, the points that Mr. Peterson raises, I think, are highly valid. We would love to accelerate our interactions with National Treasury. We've worked with them and the Department of Communications, and in October, Chair, we submitted a very comprehensive business plan indicating the four aspects that the CEO has covered, how it should be funded, and the shortfall that has been revealed in our presentation. So we believe that we have a persuasive business case in accordance with the needs of the country, the objectives of a 100% state-owned entity, and we would like to reach consensus with National Treasury as well as with the Department of Communications on the strategy that we wish to pursue into the future, as well as the funding shortfall that is currently in place. So our special plea, Chair, is to assist us to get the penetration as promised in the short term to the 56%, and we would like some interim allocation of that could be addressed by National Treasury so that we could sustain the promise that we've made to the nation. Chair, I'll hand over to the CEO for the technical details.
Thank you. The dual elimination costs, those include electricity, use more of it, and with the projected increases at Eskom would want, somebody has to pay that. Staff costs are going up, I think we all know that. We don't own all of our transmitter sites. Some we rent and all of that. We have to pay rent for those. We have to repair the roads. When it snows, going up the mountain, you know, when it snows and all of that, I mean, you know, we really need to do that. What we're finding, honorable member, is that, for instance, when we had the Eskom backup, we have standby generators. We're using more diesel, and the price of diesel is going up.
And this is Eskom with the sun.
Exactly. Yes. And we find that we have to go up those mountains more often than we used to before. So the wear and tear of equipment, of, you know, the vehicles and all of that. So there are lots of, you know, costs, you know, associated with that. The travel costs associated with our people going there and sleeping overnight and, you know, doing frequent maintenance. So it's, you know, it's just much more complex than, you know, than meets the eye. One could argue that we could switch off analog, but you can't, because not everybody in the country would have a set-top box. And so, again, the broadcasters would be disadvantaged if we were to say, okay, we'll just run one network. So it is indeed, you know, we have empathy with that, but we also have to deal with running, making sure that the infrastructure runs and runs properly. In terms of the FIFA side, I mentioned Gauteng simply because it's densely populated.
Yes. Okay.
But our plan was that, for instance, we would ensure that the host cities for FIFA are also included. And when we say host cities, it does not mean that if it's Bloom, for instance, we already have installed transmitters, FIFA transmitters in Bloemfontein, that is only the metro area of Bloemfontein. It also means that the outlying areas around Bloemfontein would also receive that. Our original plan was that for the Confederate Cup, for instance, it would be for us a wonderful test, you know, a testing opportunity to see how well we are able to, you know, function in that environment. And so we're expecting that the pilot project would include clearly modern housing. The thing is that we have most of our technical people in housing, so we want to work out the bugs closer to home so that we can very quickly run, fix something and all of that. But the intent is clearly not to just focus on housing. It will be spread to the city we're in and many other others around the country. Dr. Connor explained what we actually do for FIFA. FIFA wanted redundancies, double redundancies, with fiber optic cable, with satellite, and everything else. And so at each of the stadia where the games are going to be played, they want a fiber optic feed and a satellite feed, because there cannot be any point of failure. And we must also remember that for most parts of the continent, let alone the other parts of the world,
They don't have fiber optics running all over the place. They depend on satellite. So for them to be able to watch the games, and it's really about the people out there watching the games on television, not about who goes to the stadium. So satellite becomes very, very key in that regard. It's not a thing they can just do with fiber. It's important that they have both. And so Sentech's mandate is to ensure that they have the satellite links to ensure that FIFA can indeed broadcast their product that way. And we need to have a redundant system, even on satellite, to make sure that nothing fails. In terms of community radio, again, Dr. Connor has indeed explained, you know, why it is. Really, the Act says that we need to treat all of the broadcasters equitably. So we cannot charge community broadcasters one rate and charge the others another. There have been a number of challenges with our community broadcasters. The Department of Communications has really worked very hard to ensure that they are sustainable. They have a program that they are working with us on it, where we are putting the community broadcasters on our side, and the DOC has subsidized that. And so if your community could get in touch with the Department of Communications, they too may be able to do that. And oftentimes, some of the community broadcasters think that it's cheaper if they have their transmitter next to their studio, because they have that space. But it may not be an ideal site for covering the entire area they are licensed to cover. We try to go to sites which may be elevated so that the coverage area is, you know, broader. And so they could probably get a whole lot more people if they move, indeed move to a Sentech site, and with marketing and all of that, be able to get perhaps more shops and all of that, advertising. But again, if they would try and reach out to the Department of Communications, there could certainly be something that can be worked out. I'm not so sure how many community stations we're working with. 80 community radio stations that are on our site and have some subsidy from the DOC.
And may I just ask, because I couldn't hear what you said, what technology? You've managed to hook them up to your transmitter, basically.
We move them to our site because, let's say, our site is elevated. It covers the entire area, whereas the other site is down here, so it's a studio and they can't.
It's a low site.
Absolutely.
But so the DOC is paying for some?
Not entirely, but subsidizing for their transmission.
Oh, I wonder what the rest think of that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chef. So I just want to check with the Sentech in terms of the current community licensing, there are those that have been given to provinces, but it looks like they can't cover the provinces adequately because some of them, there could be operating with licenses that were granted to the former Bantustans. Now, you find that, let's say, KFM in the former Siska would cover King Williamstown and other areas, but it might not go beyond. But that would be classified as a provincial license. And two, you could have something called Northwest FM. It could cover Rustenburg and other areas, but not cover Potchefstroom, because of another. Now, I just want to check how far have they gone in terms of configuration of allocation of frequency appropriately, not necessarily in the base of the old system that has actually been functional. Secondly, Chair, to what extent does the rollout of the set-top box is going to affect the issue that relates to the DTT rollout? Because once you attach the issue of the set-top boxes in terms of the DTT, and also in relation to the fact that it is expected that during the switchover period in November, you would then have a period in which you could have dual elimination, and then at some point you would then switch over to switch on to digital. Then this must be a genuine answer, because if Sentech is unable to respond to that, it means we might have a problem, because you see, you've got other issues that relate to the set-top boxes, the conditional access that are attached to that, which is another issue we must go and talk to them about that matter. Now, you would understand, sir, that currently those who are offering set-top boxes, they themselves must have a sense as where you could return them in terms of if they're faulty, stuff like that, like the type of set-top box here for multi-choice and stuff like that. Every time you see people carrying them, that I'm not so sure. I'm sure there's a method that would have to refer to the DOC and a time in which you have to deal with it. But to what extent will that have an impact on our ability for the DDT rollout, or at least to cover? Because sometimes you must understand, as much as the same thing will say, no, we depend on the broadcaster to come and say, this is the channels we need to provide. So therefore, they would provide frequency based on the request. But there's an issue about our ability to cover the entire country. If we can't do it now on analog, are we able to do it under a digitized environment? And two, with the type of things we are saying, even set of box costs around about 400 rand or 250 rand, will that be achievable? I'm just saying, because it could have an impact on the work that you do. And if there's any discussions on the matter, and then I've got a follow-up on the issue, if that could be answered. Thanks. I don't know if Ms. Nance is part of the delegation of Centec, or she's trying to maybe clarify. The question is, to what extent does this issue of set-top boxes going to affect the issue of DDT, or our ability to come with all the issues that we face? That's the question.
Can I just ask one question? For the budget for this year, you've got an allocation of 150 million. So there's quite clearly a shortfall for this country. Have you started any discussions with National Treasury about giving you an additional allocation when they do the adjustments later in the year? Or is this the fixed amount? Is this the final amount that you're sitting? Because then we know what your coverage will be for the year. It's either 56% or something much less than that. So I don't know what the thinking of National Treasury. Are they open about this additional amount? Or is it a closed chapter?
The CEO will respond in a moment on the aspect of community licenses as well as the set-top boxes. We'd be flattered if Honourable Member Smuts was available to provide us with additional technical input. We'd highly desire that, she's certainly knowledgeable in the industry, having been involved in media since my days at university. And as far as the shortfall is concerned, Chair, CEO will also respond on the engagement. We're still unmarried on the engagement that's taking place with National Treasury.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the radio community coverage, as the Honourable Member has mentioned, that some of them took some of the frequencies from the old broadcasting entities during, pre-94. It is ICASA that determines what coverage area a broadcaster may have. We merely implement that. So we don't do any allocation. The applicants apply to ICASA, indicating what area they would like to cover. ICASA then determines, yes, you will get a license and you'll get either the entire area or perhaps a smaller area. Take into account, I suppose, some of the other requests that they have or other considerations they may have. And so I'd like to assure the Honourable Members we at all times comply with what ICASA dictates we do in terms of population, in terms of the coverage areas. And we try to engage the broadcasters, and, you know, again, that's where we would say to the community broadcasters, from where you want to put your transmitter, you will not be able to cover the entire area that ICASA has allowed you to cover. They often come to us when they apply to find out if what spectrum is available, you know, etc. So when they make the applications, they would be able to say to ICASA, we believe that you do have spectrum for this particular area we need to broadcast. So it is something that they need to engage with ICASA on. On the issue of the set-top boxes, we have been running a DGT pilot project since 2000. And so we have been able to determine, keep using on-set-top boxes, whether it works or not. In this particular case, we can roll out the infrastructure. What we need to be able to complete the building of the head end in Honeydew, we need to get those technical specifications so that the signal can be fed into all of the sets of boxes. So everything would technically be ready except for that portion. That would allow for, in a sense, the linking, the talking to that network. So it should not take us too long after the technical specifications are known to be able to reconfigure our head end. I think the challenge is getting the set-top boxes manufactured and making sure that there are suppliers throughout the country to be able to ensure that people have easy access and ready access to the set-top boxes. And it's not something that is in Centex. We have enough on our hands. We don't have that. There was a question about the items marked in red. What we try to do is simply, what's in black is what we requested. What is in red is what has been allocated by National Treasury. And the shortfall, as we indicated, was at the bottom line, $295 million. So that was that. In terms of the DGT shortfall, our CFO has been engaging both the DOC and National Treasury regarding the DGT, and we have tried to point out to them what the implications are for that. I don't know if you recall that the last time you, we were here, the representative from National Treasury said, well, go and borrow the other money. And we said, well, it's not news to us because we've never said that. Since they haven't said anything about that. So we still assume that they will come to the party, that they will give us a shortfall.
So there's a question on the reconfiguration of frequency. The thing I'm asking the question means that maybe I might have not emphatic a bit. So you see, when ICASA says they allocate a provincial scale, but that license that they then give from an existing frequency that used for instance by Radio Bob, it's 91.8. Now, Radio Bob would have covered a particular area in the former Bukitsuan and part of Pretoria and Johannesburg, but it would have not covered the former Western Transvaal, your Kurumantown, Freiburg area. But then that is given on the basis of that being a provincial license. Two, you would have what used to be called a Siskai Radio, now operating under KFM or something like that. But now that would be only covering the former Transkei, not as it goes to Transkei, but that is taken as if it's the provincial. Now I'm asking a question that, has there been any configuration of the issues relating to frequency? Now, I'm not so sure whether also the South African frequency management system is still meeting, is still functioning, because we understand that currently there's been a stampede of the frequency modulation FM in Gauteng and Nasland, to the extent that there's not much now to give on FM. People are now giving AM, stuff like that. Now, the question that I'm asking is the issue that relates to the frequency allocation in terms of the energy configuration to make sure that there's universal access and service. You know, so the concern comes out of the fact that if you move with the discrepancies from a analog environment to a digital, you might repeat the same mistake, because on the digital environment it's going to be competitive, it's going to be expensive, it will have set-top boxes, and we might not carry. Majority of people want to carry over that period. You can carry them during the dual illumination, which Suntec will do, but after that it might become difficult. So I'm just trying to check if that has been done. If because this will not necessarily constitute part of the strategy now, but that needs to be looked into, because it's got serious implications for us. Yeah, that's the Chairperson. Chairperson, the last point, I'm not so sure. The minister, when she came to brief us at the last meeting where we talked about the set-top boxes, the issue of the digital migration strategy and the digital zonga, I don't know if it was a mistake or it was something that she indicated that actually in terms of ICAP, Suntec would also be granted a channel. And then I think SABC 2 channels, and I think ETV 1 for purposes of the 2010. Now, considering the ability of Suntec and in terms of the money issue, you know, the funding itself in terms of its ability, whether this with under which licensing they would have been satisfied, if they do know about that or if that has not been spoken to them, but two, just in relation to the tasks ahead, whether this would be a good move to really go into that venture, or whether maybe there could be other business models, and Mr. Lona Connors over there, there could be other plans. I just thought I should check with that. If they don't know about it, then they don't have to respond. Thanks.
The CEO will respond to all the issues that have been raised.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we don't have anything about the digital Zonga and Suntec getting a channel. We're an infrastructure company, not a content provider, and we have not asked for one, so we really do not know. But as I said, we really can't comment because we do not have any information regarding that. The other issue related to the radio stations is a function of the national frequency plan. Whereas before, pre-94, you had all of these stations all over the place. There was a new spectrum plan, and there was a need to extend radio services to other parts of the country. For instance, was Mhlobo Wenene. You did not hear Mhlobo Wenene in all of the places you currently hear it in. Radio Lesedi and, you know, et cetera. And so some of those frequencies were reassigned so that people can move around the country, whether they speak Sotho, they could probably be in Cape Town and be able to listen to Lesedi. And so it did not necessarily mean that if you get a KFM and, you know, a certain size on the frequency band, that you would get to all of the places that the old licensee had. So there was a reallocation, but Jingani has been working with ICASA on the spectrum plan. He may have something to add.
Thank you very much, Doctor. One other thing that Suntec would like to say is that the frequencies currently are assigned to the broadcasters or to the radio stations. They're not assigned to Suntec. To give a typical example is Radio Bend. Suntec provided broadcasting signal distribution and built a transmitter for Bend, and Bend does not exist now. Suntec is sitting with debt capital in transmitter, whereas the frequencies is with the regulator. Suntech cannot do anything in that regard.
Another year, but you said you are retiring next year.
I certainly hope so.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to do it for another year.
Okay. All right. Next question.
And what we're really here for is to update on the wireless. And quite clearly, there's a complete stalemate as far as I can see. There is no progress. And it seems to me that the position you are suggesting is the only sensible one. That you shouldn't repeat the My Wireless mistake, where the DOC proposes a certain plan, and perhaps governments aren't wonderful at working out business plans. In that case, it was actually legislated through the doing of the Director General, and you were then simply not financially in a position to compete with other people who in due course started rolling out, and to wait 2 years for plans. So I think you are wise and sensible not to undertake anything until there is some real commitment. And, you know, the telecoms terrain is supposed to be changing all the time. I mean, we opened it up to competition with the ECA. Other people are also supposed to be able to roll out WiMAX. We're all waiting for ICASA. But I think that bit of money you've got in the bank there that you got in February must now sit there and grow. And I take note of what you've said. Now, the DOC wants you to roll out to the Dinaledi schools. I think the answer to the crisis in education in this country is to connect our schools. But you can't be expected to do that if the thinking hasn't been done for who will pay for the computers, who will pay the monthly service fee. And I see now that the DOC wants you to do the schools, but the money isn't even remotely enough for that. And so I was sitting here thinking while you spoke, maybe we should put the ball in the court of the provincial education and other departments. They must come and contract with you. What do you think? If they want to... I'm thinking off the top of my head because it seems to me that this is a dead end. This exercise is a dead end. It's unfair to expect CENTEC to take it any further. But if a province, one of the more progressive or aggressive ones, as you said, want to roll out to their schools, then they must give you the undertaking. They must contract with you, and some sort of a workable business model must be set up. I don't expect you to respond seriously. I'm trying to think a way out of this. But I would certainly, if I were you, I'd keep that money in the bank and not go forward until there is some sort of agreement in government. And if they're not going to pay, or unless you are given the right to conduct business like other competitors, then why should you?
Well, we'll get you there, sir. Chair, the point that the assertions of Honourable Member Slacks is valid. I think we might be, from a time point of view, not being sufficiently accommodating of the Department of Communications and National Tracing. We submitted the business plan on the 11th of April, so the turnaround time for them to consider the business model and to provide input. So I'm an optimist, Chair, together with the CENTEC board, that they would apply their minds and come back to us. But until then, we are going to be prudent because we don't have the resources to roll out what is envisaged in the plan. It's ambitious. We want to get to rural areas, schools, and if you look at education and what technology does, emails and the internet, it's significant from a learning point of view. And I used to be a professor at the University of Durban West for 10 years, and I've seen in India the penetration that mobile phones and the internet has made into communities, as well as distance learning.
So we think there's a great opportunity. I think the challenge of putting it to the provincial department, we'll take on that and we will discuss it at board level and see whether or not that's feasible, engage with the provincial MECs in charge of education. But there needs to be funding because we've got to provide a continuous service. 99.8 and 99.9 are the statistics that we've presented to you this afternoon from a reliability and continuity of service point of view. So that's something that we're proud of reputationally and we'd like to sustain it. But it's a significant investment, and the benefits of this chair are something that we as a nation would enjoy long into the future, in perpetuity. So the sooner we make a conscious decision, like we've made with Gautrain and other significant capital investments, we would be able to really accelerate the transfer of knowledge and skills to people that really need it. So we could empower the previously disempowered as well as penetrate the rural areas where the need is the greatest. So our plea chair, these two members, to help us persuade National Treasury. They keep the purse strings to enable us to be adequately funded. And we've a board that is prudent. You can see the annual reports of the previous years, the manner in which we've managed the resources that have been allocated, the challenges that we've had, and our compliance with the Public Finance Management Act, Treasury regulations, the Companies Act, and King II on corporate governance. So we take our responsibility seriously. We're a young board, we're a new board. Some of us have been on the board for 2 years. We've inherited certain of the activities that preceded our appointment, but we're doing our best in using our endeavors to maximize the opportunity to contain the losses and to see that the organization is viable, despite the challenges of skills. If you look at the engineering skills and the deep pockets that the private sector has as far as options and bonuses and share price performance. So we, in a particular space, and we've owned by the state as 100% shareholding by government, and we are using our best endeavors to sustain this business and to provide a service that is reliable. Thank you, Chair. Questions?
Just one brief comment regarding what Honorable Smith has said in terms of the provinces. We have been engaging the provinces again for the past 2 years. We have just embarked on a rollout plan for Mpumalanga, and it's not just schools, but some of the municipal offices and all of that. Yes. And there have been, as I said, this past 2-3 weeks, extensive and numerous discussions with the TOC and the provincial MEC representatives to address this potential problem.
All right, thank you very much, Kami.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies that we came a bit late. And, on the introduction, I see that there are only 3 board members, so I would appeal that next time they try to bring the whole contingent of the board, so that we have just taken a decision that the board report to the committee. So next time, try your best. Thank you.
It's not true that there are 6 board members present. We have 3 executives, the chief executive officer, the chief financial officer, the chief operations officer. We're a board of 8, small, neat, effective board. 2 members, Mr. Ickling, has been hospitalized, and so is Advocate Shombi. They're indisposed. But otherwise, Chair, we're keen, we're committed, and we're inspired to do our best. So, with respect, we will try to be as fully representative as we can at the meeting. So, 6 out of 8.
Yeah. The reason we want the board to have actually explained many times later is because the board is the one that has to give strategic leadership and direction to the institution. So, quite often, now we've got a CEO and a CFO coming. They report to the board, whatever they report. In some cases, because the board members are not full-time, they've got other responsibilities. They just come 4 times in a year. But it is this platform that gives them, it is an opportunity to to understand and to hear the issues that we raise, in which they should be able to, in their fiduciary duties, be able to execute and try to prioritize things as they are. Because sometimes the management become creative. They develop quite a number of good concepts, good things, my wireless, my what. And when they do not function properly, we look at the board. If we don't look at them, then eventually that becomes a problem. So this must be understood in that context. That, you know, and actually, you must go and tell other boards that are coming that this is going to be the way for now and forever. That we expect the board to come in full, you know, in full, and also ability to understand where we want to go. Thanks, sir. But that's taken actually as noted earlier.
No, I think the apologies were when at the beginning of the meeting, which we've accepted. So thank you very much for the time you've taken and coming at this awkward hour. I know it is an awkward hour. But we thought that because we had accommodated you last week, you would accommodate us this week. So thank you very much for your presence.